This is the Out of Time Film Podcast, where your hosts, Tom and John, discuss everything from blockbuster films to TV and games like there's no tomorrow. Hello and welcome to the Out of Time Film Podcast. I'm Tom.
I'm John.
And this week we're talking about Captain America, the Winter Soldier.
The second installment of the Captain America quadrilogy so far. What is the trilogy?
I guess.
Quadrilogy. But here we are. This is one of the first MCU movies that I ever watched in the cinema. And it was such an awesome experience because I didn't have much knowledge about Captain America. This film greatly does it. You know, you really explore him in the modern day in a really harsh reality after he's been buried in the ice for so many years. I thought this was a pretty good film to look back into. I was worried for rewatch. I was like, does it still hold up a little bit? Does it still have the same impact for the first Avenger? The first Avenger has a different tone, but this one has a very grounded, different approach to it, which is interesting to me. I was like, ooh, okay.
Yeah, it's night and day between the first film and this film. A lot of people nowadays, they talk about how the MCU has lost that individuality and how you need to watch everything to catch up to understand. I would argue that was always the case. I watched the first Avenger a couple weeks ago and I watched the Winter Soldier. If you don't watch Avengers, you'd just be so confused. The amount that changes so dramatically in between films is insane. And again, in Civil War, to the point where you kind of think to yourself, this doesn't work as a trilogy. This is not three films that are separate. And that's okay. That's the MCU. That's the pitch, right? Like, that's what we signed up for with the MCU. But it is like, whoa, okay. And this film 100% kind of deals with that. It's so different. It's modern day. We're dealing with government corruption and Captain America in the midst of that, in the modern day, going up against the dark side of S.H.I.E.L.D., of the institution that he's working for. And this film follows him struggling with where he fits as he unearths this conspiracy, and everyone that he trusted or thought he trusted are all looped into it. And throughout, there's this question of who are the good guys, who are the bad guys? And this film blurs those lines. It's the first Russo brothers offering of the MCU. And I mean, I would have to rewatch them all, but you could argue this is their best.
One surprising element from this was the writing itself with the dialogue. It kept you on your feet as well. It just had some life to it with the characters that we get to explore with Steve and Natasha's dynamic as well as Sam. I thought that had like a breath of fresh air in terms of that dialogue, because I completely forgot this entire film. I mean, there were some great sequences in this film, but it just felt like those key character points that you want to focus on, because these are character-driven films. They have an arc to them, whereas the Avengers, there was a grand scale. It was really nice to reflect on that. It's like, oh wow, there's a lot of things that were just building up for the MCU in that time.
Yeah, it's an interesting direction because it's the first time we see some of the characters as characters. I particularly want to talk about Black Widow and Nick Fury because in their other appearances, notably Iron Man 2 and Avengers, what do? They look cool. They do fight scenes. But in this film, both of them are confronted with their worldview coming crashing down. Much like Steve, they have to grapple with this idea of S.H.I.E.L.D. not being what they thought it was. You know, Nick desperately tries to hang on to that. And Steve even says, we're not salvaging anything. It all goes here. These institutions, in the way that they are, they're not the answer. And Natasha also has a moment where she talks about her previous life and wanting to go into something good, but kind of failing to do that. I think that's interesting to look back on now that we have Black Widow as well. I do think that the dialogue is pretty good sometimes, but other times, I gotta say, I wasn't a fan. I think Black Widow specifically, there's a moment right at the beginning when Black Widow literally says, well, this is awkward. And I almost combusted.
I completely forgot about
there.
That. Yeah, she did say that. It does hit in certain parts, like in terms of like, there's some great scenes to explore about their worldview. For example, Natasha explained about her different lives and she said that truth is a matter of circumstance. You know, how do you find truth in this world? Yeah. Which is just like, that's the essence of this movie. Like they kept figuring out with the characters, especially the whole plot twist as well, we will get into. I mean, everyone will know this. Like, the Winter Soldier's Bucky at this point.
No, John!
No!
Spoilers!
No, no, ah! Not the spoiler zone. Oh my god.
Yeah.
There's some bits of that just felt fall flat.
To me, you can tell at moments that... So when Black Widow was coming out, Scarlett Johansson was like, I feel very good that the character has gone from essentially being a piece of meat, a tool to look sexy, to an actual character. And I would say that potentially this film is the midpoint of that, because there is some really great lines, but there's also moments where she's trying to be snarky and sarcastic, and there's a couple of awful shots that just focus on her ass, and it's just not great at all. You just kind of think to yourself, yeah, okay, we're looking back at 11 years ago at this point, but it does kind of colour it, and it was a shame. Some of the quips that I feel like this film, when it's at its best, it's being self-serious, and it is being that kind of like espionage thriller, but it injects some of those MCU moments that did get me a little bit, irked.
It is a bit jarring when the film has this own tone to it, but then there'll be some comedic elements, which did hit sometimes, but it just completely threw me off, and it's like, oh yeah, is it totally consistent all the way through? Yeah. So that's the problem with that. But overall, the action, the fight choreography, the set pieces that we get to explore in this movie are pretty good. And it just makes me really miss fight sequences that we don't really get to see a lot in the MCU, because it's all CGI right now. It's all CGI sometimes, and it's just like, oh, there is that sense of realism in this film, like they actually go on location, you know, they do a lot of fight sequences. I mean, if you look at like Sebastian Stan going to his fight choreography, it's insane, they go with everything, and now it's just like oversaturated, so it's like, oh dang.
Yeah, I really hope that Thunderbolts and I mean Captain America Brave New World, can you really do grounded action against the Red Hulk? I don't know, but I hope that Thunderbolts goes back to some of that choreography. I mean, looking at the trailer, it looks really promising. But damn, every single set piece is so memorable. The chase with Nick Fury is just really well edited.
So good.
It's really well composed. And there was a moment at the beginning when Cap's fighting Batroc, and I said out loud, oh, this is really over-edited. And then it just holds on a shot right when I thought that. And there's like this brilliant shot of them fighting together, and then Batroc just like three flips. And you go like, oh, okay, hold on.
They're cooking. They're cooking in the editing.
And obviously there's that bit where Cap and the Winter Soldier are going hand to hand, and Winter Soldier's got the knife and he's like throwing it in between them, and they're just kind of going, you know, no shield, just the two of them going hand to hand. It's amazing. But having said that,
yes.
And this might just be because I'm a jaded, grizzled old man who...
Say it!
I don't think the Russo brothers are good directors. I just don't.
I agree.
And
I agree.
I think looking back at this film, were they ever good directors? I don't know.
That is the question in terms of like writing. Because what the movies are focused on is scripts. Like, a movie needs to have a good script. That's the blueprint. Mm-hmm. That's the foundation that they need to work on in terms of, is the story good? Does it focus on the characters? The Russos, I think their whole thing only works on their writing, because you do get to see that night and day when it comes to Avengers Infinity War to Endgame, and that's the whole litmus test. There's a whole clear difference. It's like, oh,
when it comes to their MCU films and their films in general, they do a good job of telling the story, and they direct it adequately, and hell, there are even a few sequences where I go, you guys cooked here, you know. Especially they know how to make a moment work. There are numerous like epic moments, like, you know, the moment when Nick Fury takes his eye patch off and he says, you need to keep both eyes open. That's an incredibly well done, you know, the music, the editing, the shot, Samuel L. Jackson, all of that is just epic, and that they carry that into the other movies as well. But I just don't think that I'm a fan of their style of direction. It might not even be that they're bad directors. I just don't think it's for me. A couple years ago, a behind the scenes clip surfaced of Cap and the Winter Soldier doing that fight with the knife. And everyone was like, wow, this is incredible. The choreography is insane. And in the film itself, it is insane and it is incredible, but it's done with such shaky camera. And there are so many edits. And I just kind of thought to myself, God damn it, can we have less of this and more of those amazing one-take action shots? Like, there's a bit at the end on the helicarriers when Cap is just running through, like, there's smoke all around and he's just decking Hydra agents throughout. He's wearing that old 1940s suit and it's an unbroken shot, and he's like, dude, he just like twirls and he slams them down and he backs them with the shield, and that's where you get the best stuff. And, you know, he's kicking people left, right, and center. I love all of that. And I wanted more, but this isn't the best directed film. And that was a shame, especially since I felt like I held this in such high esteem.
Yeah,
and
same.
I came back and I was like, here we go, S-tier Marvel. And I mean, it was good. But it's not S tier, maybe yeah. A. But yeah, I was disappointed by that. I feel like I'm just coming in with all the negativity today. I promise there's great parts about this movie.
It does have emotional intelligence towards, you know, we get to focus on Steve because he's just completely stranded in this whole new world that is completely moved on. But there's a sense of finding truth in it as well. But the most heartbreaking thing upon rewatch is that I know that Sharon Carter grows old and then really missed Steve.
That's Peggy.
God damn it, why did I mix them up? I'm not good with names.
Sharon, no! John's actually seen Brave New World and he knows that Sharon Carter grows old.
And she's the power... What was
power broker?
The power broker, yeah. Anyway, wow, Peggy. When Peggy grows old and he visits her and it's like this... It just felt very existential, that whole scene. She has dementia. It is really awful. It's like he wanted that life with Peggy and he sees her like this and there's nothing he can really do. Well, there's Endgame as well. He has that life as well that he can live to. And it's like, damn, that just gives you another impact as well. It makes me think about the whole character, you know, where they start. And, you know, this is kind of like the midpoint of their journey, but it's kind of annoying when there wasn't a lot to explore more of that because it's only centered character pieces. Like, we go from Captain America Civil War 2016, then 2 years later, Avengers Infinity War. There isn't like enough space or enough time to explore more of this. And it is frustrating because it's like only looking at events. Why not look at smaller events on those characters? But this one does a lot more. This is great. This is what we want to see more from these characters. Like, they're actually human beings. For example, the opening bit where Steve and Sam meet together.
Amazing.
That's just wonderful. We need more of this rather than just have high stakes and everyone's saved. Yippee. That's it. We need something.
I love that scene at the end when they say yippee.
Yippee! It's just like that.
The best parts of this film and of the first film as well, and probably when we rewatch it, the third film, are the quiet moments. It's why when the MCU shows are really good, you know, Falcon Winter Soldier, Loki, Agatha, Hawkeye, those are all my favorite shows of the MCU caliber because the small moments of character, of just Hawkeye calling his family and not being able to hear his son talking to him, or Sam ironing his shirt before giving away the shield, or
Loki giving up all himself to protect all of time.
Yeah, just brilliant. These moments are soaked in character. Or when Mobius decides to just stand there and let time pass. It's fantastic.
Like, these are so good. And then now it's just like...
I was trying to give like a soft voice, like, yeah, this is a really beautiful moment. No, and then John comes in like, this is a great moment.
Because I'm just reflecting on it. It's just like, oh my God, this is... Yeah. This is, I love that.
I don't think Winter Soldier hits the heights of the first Avenger.
Yes.
But as an entire package, I think it is more consistent. That's for sure. One of my favorite things about this film, and I think my favorite scene is probably the scene where he visits the museum and visits Peggy. Like, just, oh my God, incredible stuff. The ghost of the first film haunts this one. I love the way that Steve is struggling to adjust to the modern era in the first act. Mm-hmm. And even in the way that that opening scene with him and Sam, you talked about this a little bit last week, but it starts with just the quietest arrangement of Alan Silvestri's theme for the first Avenger. And it's just, it's chilling. You can feel the progression from that. I mean, I think Henry Jackman's score is amazing. So many pieces that I love. The Winter Soldier theme could be like top five MCU music, like amazing. And even Sam's theme for the Falcon that comes back in Falcon Winter Soldier when he becomes Captain America, amazing stuff. But like the quieter moments. This one has more action than the first film. It moves faster. It spends more time with the central mystery and conflict. But still the best things are like that moment where Steve is just standing there waiting for the final battle to begin. And he's just remembering a friendship that he once had with Bucky. Or Sam helping other veterans struggle with their pain of being back to reality after being in the army. And that is what I love about the Captain America story. It feels so very grounded. He's not a billionaire. He's not like a convict or a doctor. He's just a guy who wants to do the right thing.
He's a chill guy.
Yeah, he's a bro. He's not a god. He's not a monster. He's just a guy who is stranded in time.
He just wants to live a simple life.
Exactly. Yeah. And I just like, potentially, all in all, this film is at its best. If you want to pick one plot line, the Steve and Bucky stuff. Yeah, that's right. I'm talking Stucky here. We're going full in. But the whole bit at the end when he lets Bucky beat him up and he says, I'm with you till the end of the line. Can we just talk about Oscar-nominated Sebastian Stan? Yeah, what an actor.
He's a wonderful actor. It's just very emotional. And it's just like all those memories, but also the person that you once knew. But then it's just like, it's so conflicting, but it's just so confusing for him. I just love that. Those key moments to figure out a character and then who they are for Civil War. That builds up to a lot of things for Civil War. So that's just a brilliant way to start from there. Also, I do have a funny story about the first time watching this movie. So, you know the plot twist. You know the whole thing with Bucky and stuff. I didn't have any knowledge about the MCU. So when that plot twist was revealed, I was with my dad and I just gasped because I thought, oh, it's a plot twist. What could it mean? And then my dad was like, John, who is it? And I turned to him and I said, I don't know. Because wanted to be dramatic. I was like, oh my God, it's this guy.
I love those moments. It's like when I watched the first Avengers movie and Thanos is in the end credits, I turned to my dad and I was like, it's Red Skull. And I was like, I was so sure. I knew who it was.
It's Red Skull. I'm sure of it. He's there. He's so there. You're kind of correct because you did go to, what's that place called again? Vormir.
I think the whole reveal where Steve sees Bucky, it's really good. He has such physical and terrifying presence in the first half, and then towards the end you get that kind of really tragic stuff. One of my favorite MCU post-credit scenes is the one at the end of this film. It's just chilling, just watching the Winter Soldier read about himself as the Winter Soldier, that pulsing beat go higher and higher and higher. Yeah. And obviously the scene where he has like his flashbacks and you kind of see Toby Jones as Arnim Zola. I mean, the whole idea of the Zola algorithm is so cool. The idea of this film of Nazis taking hold of the most powerful places in government and using it to oppress people and strip them of their rights. It's a terrifying concept.
It's terrifying,
You know, unfortunately, we are seeing echoes of that in the real world today. I want to take this moment right now just to say, anyone listening, we support the freedom of everyone. And for those in America who are scared and feeling alone right now, we stand with you and we believe that your rights and existence are valid. And I know that might not mean much, but we want to give what little we can and just, you know, say this is a safe space with us, you know.
And your voice matters as well. You know, we want to raise awareness of all things to life, talking about perspective, cultures, or people with invisible but visual disabilities as well, and trans rights as well. So these all matters. That's a whole thing that we want to preface saying that this is really important. Your voice matters. You guys are welcome here. And be respectful. That's the other thing as well. Just be respectful.
100%. I was so strangely scared of the concept of this film, this idea of what Arnim Zola describes as a beautiful parasite, Hydra bubbling under the surface and literally taking over S.H.I.E.L.D. That is scary. It's very on the nose. It's very, oh, the people over are literally Nazis. That's scary. That really is. I feel like the film approaches it really well. The scene in the lift, one of the best action scenes maybe the MCU has ever done. You know, before we get started, does anyone want to get out? But they also sow the seeds very early of good intentions becoming something terrible. Cap has that brilliant line where he says, this isn't freedom, this is fear. And even Nick Fury, who genuinely wants to do the right thing, he's a victim to it. Everyone is a victim to it. And I love that. You can see why a lot of people think this is the best of the best of the MCU. How does it rank for you? Not necessarily rank. I'm not asking you to remember all 30.
Oh, yes. Let's do a tier.
We will one day.
We've got to do a tier list.
That's the plan. Do you think it's the best MCU movie? Do you think it's the best MCU sequel? Like, how does
I would have said that across the entire podcast. You might hear this like Easter eggs, like all the way through. This is not the best MCU. I say this is well produced. You know, there's a great story. This is definitely in the top 10. There are pretty important ones in my top 5. That's including Guardians, Black Panther as well. So it's just like, do we consider all those movies that mattered? People will be like, you put it in the top 10. Like, okay, there's a lot of movies to consider, okay? There's a lot of things.
I don't think this is going to be a controversial one. I think everyone, pretty much, this is a quite universally loved MCU film.
Interesting. Yeah.
I agree. I think that it's solid, very, very good film. And once upon a time, I would have given this film a 10 out of 10. I don't think it's nearly
it's
there.
It's such
but...
a strange time when you look back at something and you gave
right?
it a 10 out of 10.
Weird.
And you're like, how did I rate this a 10 out of 10?
Yeah.
It's so funny.
I can see why. Like, there's a lot. There's, you know, even still, like, I've watched this film so many times and there's so many bits that I remembered and I was like, oh my God. But now, one of my favorite things about this film is that I get to see the origins of a second Captain America, which is so cool. This film introduces Sam Wilson perfectly. Every single scene with him, I'm just like, yes, this is the guy. He's charming. He's got that Captain America heart already. And I love that he goes from the, oh, I do what he does, but slower, to now being Captain America and having the mantle for his own film. That's amazing. And also, I don't know if you noticed this, John, he can fly. And that's cool.
He can fly?
That's really cool. How can you that there's just, I used to love Falcon.
Yeah.
And every time he was on screen, I was just like, yes.
Yeah.
He's
a wonderful character. I wish to see him more, which we will.
Whoa. No.
Hey, yeah. And also, speaking of Marvel, there's a whole Marvel game called Marvel Rivals.
Yes.
You might have heard of this. I've played a fair amount of it. It's pretty fun. So I do hope to see Sam Wilson in this game.
Is he not in it?
He's not in it. So
Injustice.
Yeah.
Come on.
So
where's
I'm
my
like...
goat? Isn't Mantis in it?
She's in it.
So you're telling me that I love Mantis, don't get me wrong, but Mantis is in it, but Sam Wilson
Bucky's
isn't
in it.
Great and all, Sam Wilson isn't. Oh, for God's sake, guys.
Jeff the Shark. You know Jeff the Shark?
I don't know Jeff the Shark.
Well, he's in it.
Oh,
Jeff the Shark.
Jeff's in it. Yay.
Everyone hates him. Anyway, It's true. Everyone hates him. I mean, there's a few people that really like Jeff because Jeff has this really powerful ability just to take everybody and chomp them.
That's what I want to see in the MCU. Oh, God. Yeah.
But yeah, Winter Soldier.
What are you going to give it out of 10?
7.
Okay, cool. I'm going to give it an 8. Thank you, everybody, for listening. If you're listening on YouTube and you liked it, you can like and subscribe if you want to see more. And if you're listening on Apple or Spotify, you can follow and give us a 5-star review if you think we're worthy. And next week, before we hit Captain America Civil War, we are going to be talking about Paddington in Peru. I can only apologize.
Yes. Paddington, please stop this.
And you can send us an email at alstimefilmpod@gmail.com. Let us know your thoughts on Paddington in Peru. And we'll answer it on the podcast right here next week.
And you can follow us on Instagram at @outoftimefilmpod to see our incredible thumbnails from Zane Aswell. On Twitter, I'm starting to lose faith on
Twitter. Should we go over to Blue Sky?
But I really agree.
I feel like we should bite the bullet. Maybe next week we'll be on Blue Sky.
Okay, everyone, scrap that. We're going to be on Blue Sky on more thoughts.
Bye.
And edit the clips, which will also be on Instagram Reels and YouTube Shorts. And you can find links to that on the description below. Thanks to LJNs for the excellent theme and Roland Phillips for focus as always. And I think that's everything. Take what you're given.
Give nothing back.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.